welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 16th, 2016. I am Jason Powell. We will get to my WWE Raw hit list in a little bit, but I want to touch on some news items. Brie Bella announced that she will be retiring soon during an ABC feature that aired on Good Morning America. Daniel Bryan's retirement and the concussion issue in WWE were discussed during this piece. Brie said on camera that she will retire soon, kind of left it open, but then ABC reporter Kana Whitworth, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, followed up by saying that Brie told her that she plans to retire sometime this summer. I mean, I don't think anyone should be too surprised that she is retiring, given that Daniel Bryan retired last week, and they've talked about going off to start a family. The thing that did surprise me about the piece is that they acknowledged that Bryan hid his concussions from Brie even, and also, once she learned of them, asked her not to report his head trauma issues because he feared that they wouldn't let him wrestle in WWE. They did have Paul Triple H Levesque on the show. He was quoted as saying, "Athletes are like thoroughbreds. Someone has to pull the reins because they will run themselves into the ground if given that opportunity." They also touched on the lawsuit filed by Vito LaGrasso and others regarding head trauma issues in WWE. WWE issuing a statement on that matter, just saying that they will fight it in court, denying the allegations and things of that nature. So Daniel Bryan's head trauma issues continuing to make news. And it's one of the reasons that I think WWE is going to make every effort to keep him in the fold. I think they want to be able to point to Daniel Bryan as a way of saying that our concussion testing is working. When critics accuse them of things, they can point to the Daniel Bryan situation, say, hey, here's a top guy who headlined WrestleMania for us, was a WWE champion. We decided that at 34 years of age, our medical testing determined he can't continue. And yes, it's self-serving, but you know, I think that WWE will work to keep him in the fold in some way so that they can make him part of their counter to the head trauma issue. And it's certainly not all bad for Bryan. I mean, he can make a big difference. I mean, it said at the end of the piece that he intends to, he wants to get involved in spreading the message of concussion awareness to younger athletes. So I really do think it's kind of a mutually beneficial thing for WWE and Daniel Bryan. Of course, the question is, does Daniel Bryan want to continue working with WWE? And I think it's going to be the most lucrative opportunity he has, but is he a guy that cares that much about money? And I mean, we've talked before, could he be a guy, he and Brie, would they be perfectly content just living off the grid? And the fact that he's talking about spreading awareness is that, yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, he's still going to be in the public eye in some way. And so I think that WWE will work to keep him. I mean, he's not going anywhere presently. I mean, he's under contract to them for a certain length of time. But I think long-term, Daniel Bryan probably has a position with this company in some capacity. Big Show was the guest on Steve Austin's Stone Cold podcast on Monday night that airs on WWE Network. He said that he plans to wrestle for a couple more years. I take that as most likely wrapping things up at WrestleMania 34, because I don't think he meant literally like 2 years from now. I would think that that's kind of the milestone that most guys set, working through a WrestleMania, and so that's kind of the target date now. Of course, plans can change. He did laugh when Austin brought up the live crowd chanting for him to retire. He said he thinks a lot of it is just fans having fun and being part of the show, and he said that he has been booked horribly, but he also said that he's very grateful for everything he has. He talked about all the turns his character has made and defended that a bit by saying that people just don't understand that he's playing a role in helping get younger wrestlers over. He talked about if there's a young babyface that they need him to work with, they'll turn him heel, and vice versa. And he kind of praised his own versatility for some of this. He said he does whatever Vince McMahon asks him to do creatively. And, you know, I mean, okay, yeah, are they putting him, or do they turn him at times for that reason? Sure. Do I think it needs to be that way? No. And I got the sense that he doesn't either. You know, I mean, he was careful with, he was selective in his wording. The line that he said he's been booked horribly, though, I think is telling. He knows it. He knows that they could have done more. Austin did ask him at one point if, in a roundabout way, if he has any regrets, if he feels like his career should have been bigger. And he joked that, you know, he wishes he had had Austin's merchandise checks or something to that effect. But Big Show should have meant more. You know, that's the thing, as WWE did really run this character into the ground in a different era, the territory days. I certainly think he would have been a major star. He could have just bounced from one territory to the next and never gotten stale, never been overexposed. He's been completely overexposed in WWE, and it's a shame. He's a talented big man, one of the best big men as far as athletic ability that pro wrestling has ever seen. But he just, now he's kind of that mid-card guy. You know, right now he's the jolly giant, and then they'll turn him heel the next time they think they need someone. It's like, well, why don't you guys come up with a plan? I mean, it's just, I don't know why they can't come up with a long-term plan for this guy. I've said for a while, I would like to see Big Show and Kane just be used on house shows. And now, right now, they're both in okay roles on television. They're not being overexposed too much. But I just think that it would add something to the house shows. That, wow, Big Show's here. We haven't seen him on television in a while. This is special to, you know, the casual fan out there. Same with Kane. And then they're just not overexposed. You give them a break from television. You bring them back in key spots. So they're still getting paid. You know, they're still making the house show runs and everything else. They're still collecting a check, playing a role in the company. But you're not overexposing them. You're saving them for when they can matter, when you have something good for them, so they're not just kind of, you know, twisting and turning, constantly going from babyface to heel to the point that fans just kind of throw their hands up, which is really what has happened. But a good interview overall. I definitely recommend it. It's certainly not the most newsworthy, but you know, you didn't expect it to be going into the show since it was Big Show. But Big Show tells good stories. He and Austin had a lot of fun looking back on some of their interactions through the years, with Big Show being this green guy who came from WCW and who basically earned himself a spot in the doghouse quickly and was kind of labeled an underachiever, and Austin, you know, being this prickly top guy that just really didn't have a whole lot of time. Some fun stuff where they actually showed Big Show's first appearance when he ran Austin into the cage a couple of times. It was the finish where the cage popped open, and the centerpiece of the cage swung open, and Austin dropped to the floor to win a match that way. And they were talking about how Show basically just threw Austin with everything he had into the cage multiple times because Vince McMahon told him to. It was basically like, Austin, you know, Austin won't sell it if you don't do it. And so Show went out there and just went crazy with it. And Austin was having a good laugh about that. So a fun relationship, fun dynamic between Austin and Big Show during the 1 hour interview. Hopefully the next one, I mean, this one was fine. I certainly enjoyed it more than like the Page one that they had that was just kind of throwaway, unfortunately. But hopefully we'll get something newsworthy. I really thought this would have been a great spot for WWE to have Daniel Bryan. Who cares if Big Show is scheduled? You can always push that back. He's going to be around for a couple of years, and so is Brian, I think, but I just think it's timely enough where that would have been a major go-to for the network. You know, I think people would have paid good money to see Steve Austin sit down and talk with Daniel Bryan about everything. Because, yeah, he's been out there. He's addressed a lot of things on Raw. He was on ESPN. Of course, he was on ABC briefly in that Good Morning America feature. But I think Steve Austin asking him follow-up questions would be really interesting and certainly would have been very timely. I mentioned yesterday our new question of the week: who should Undertaker face at WrestleMania 32 if John Cena is physically unable to perform? As always, limit your responses to a paragraph. You can send them directly to me via email at dotnetjason@gmail.com. Just spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. Or if you were a .NET member, you can post your response in the members forum in our .NET audio section. We will get to our question of the week submission probably on Friday, I'm thinking. So try to get those in. Actually, I'm almost positive it'll be Friday. Try to get those in by Thursday night, if possible, Friday morning at the very latest, and I will definitely be reading some of your submissions on the air. The members are listening to my 53-minute Q&A audio show and my full-length 44-minute audio review of WWE Raw from last night. They will be hearing my TNA Impact Wrestling audio review coming up on Wednesday, and I'll also be reviewing NXT this week because Zach Zimmerman needs a week off. Darren Gutteridge and Hayden Gleed will be by with a review of the Ring of Honor television show. Jake Barnett and I will get together on Sunday night to review the WWE Fastlane pay-per-view. That's not even all the audio that the members will have access to this week. So if audio is your thing, become a .NET member. You can do so for $7.50 for 1 month. But as always, if you want to save yourself a little bit of money, you can sign up for 6 months. Or if you go all the way to that annual option, you will whittle that price down to an average of $5.50 a month. All the details available on the main page at prowrestling.net. Look for that sign-up area. Once you're in there, you'll see those three pricing options. get on board. There's a lot going on here as we approach WrestleMania. All right, let's get into my WWE Raw hit list from last night. As always, I'm doing this for the benefit of those who just don't have time to read a lengthier piece. It's a little bit easier to listen on the fly, and I'll follow things up once I'm done reading the hit list with some bonus Raw thoughts. We'll start with the hits, as always. You can read along at ProWrestling.net. The hit list is already up, of course. But the first hit, Kevin Owens against Dean Ambrose, against Tyler Breeze, Stardust, and Dolph Ziggler. That five-way match for the Intercontinental title that Kevin Owens won. A highly entertaining five-way match, complete with a title change. Some of the near falls were effective enough that I actually bought into the possibility of the sadly underutilized Tyler Breeze winning at one point. Ambrose dropping the title is an interesting development, as it certainly makes you wonder what they have planned for him at Fastlane and WrestleMania. It also left me wondering what the Intercontinental title match will be at WrestleMania. I like Owens against AJ Styles in a singles match, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go with the big multi-man ladder match. It's nice to see that Dolph Ziggler's recent wins over Owens were either strategic, or at least they seem that way now that Owens won the title. Next hit, Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. The most intriguing segment of the night. Heyman and Reigns continue to be very respectful of one another, just as they were throughout the build of the WrestleMania 31 main event. This would work nicely if they ever decide to turn both men heel and put them together. The Dudley Boys attacking Reigns was a nice twist. The acknowledged history between Heyman and the Dudleys could lead to the end of respect between Heyman and Reigns, but Heyman can always deny having any involvement while claiming that not even he can control the Dudleys. Heyman hasn't been himself lately in terms of his performances. I assume it's because he hasn't been excited by what the company has been doing creatively. Fortunately, he bounced back nicely in this segment and did a nice job of playing up the possibility of a Reigns and Ambrose meltdown. If nothing else, this segment served as an effective setup for the suddenly fresh SmackDown main event of Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose against the Dudley Boys. Next hit, Charlotte and Brie Bella. Charlotte essentially played the same role that Paige played when she was scripted to use Ric Flair's death in an angle. The big difference, as they essentially pointed out, is that a man didn't die. Rather, Charlotte used Daniel Bryan's retirement to get heat, and it was effective without crossing the line of poor taste. Charlotte delivered her lines well, and also flashed a nice facial expression that said Brie was right when she accused her of playing mind games because she knows it won't be an easy match. I also liked the way Charlotte took center stage while her famous father was merely at her side. There are certainly times when Ric Flair can add a lot to the act with his mic work, but Charlotte was, and should be, the featured attraction of their act. Next hit is AJ Styles against Miz. I have mixed feelings about this match. It was certainly a good back-and-forth match. At the same time, the problem is that it was such a back-and-forth match. The Miz rarely has competitive matches with top stars in WWE. We see him lose quickly and comedically on a regular basis, so what type of message does it send to viewers about where Styles ranks? Ultimately, I settled in on this being a hit because the ring work was entertaining, and I don't think any real damage was done, given that Styles won clean. In fact, I hope the company realizes that Miz can be more than just a comedic heel, even though he plays that role so well. The post-match angle was entertaining, with Styles issuing the challenge he thought Chris Jericho would quickly accept, only to have Jericho play mind games by telling him that he would think about it and get back to him on SmackDown. I certainly assume we are getting the rubber match at Fastlane, and I'm looking forward to it. The final hit, Summer Rae against Paige. And it's a minor hit for the upset finish. I think we all assume this was nothing more than a throwaway showcase match for Paige. Instead, Summer pinned her clean, which sets up the need for a rematch. I'm not a fan of parody booking, and I hope this wasn't step one in some weird burial. Yet I would also like to see WWE do more to establish that upsets can happen in seemingly lopsided television matches, as it keeps viewers more engaged rather than simply assuming they know the outcomes of most television matches. On to the misses section, and we will start with Big Show against Braun Strowman. This was the main event? This had to be one of those strange Vince McMahon ribs that forced Big Show to race from the ring to the Stone Cold podcast set, right? The alternative is that Vince McMahon really saw this as a suitable main event of a pay-per-view go-home show. Granted, it was more of an angle than a match with the Wyatt family getting involved, only to have Ryback and Kane make the save. I assume it sets up a six-man tag for the pay-per-view, and it's a fine mid-card match, but none of this belongs in the main event segment of Raw, let alone on the go-home edition heading into Fastlane. The third hour of the show was a drag, and I can't imagine the teases for this match were enough to keep viewers watching. It's a shame that this show didn't end with the Heyman and Reigns segment, as this would have felt like a quality go-home show. Instead, the extra hour brought the show down and left me feeling blah about Sunday's pay-per-view. Next miss, Big E against Mark Henry. A strange finish, with Henry slipping out of the big ending, landing on the mat, and then just being pinned. The broadcast team played up the possibility of him suffering broken ribs from the splashes. One can only assume that Henry was injured based on that awkward finish, but there has yet to be any official update on his condition. Next miss, Heath Slater against Zack Ryder. What the hell are the social outcasts? I honestly have no idea whether they are heels or babyfaces or what WWE hopes to get from this pairing of undercard misfits. Next miss, Becky Lynch against Naomi. A minor miss for what felt like a rush match and angle. How about scrapping the Slater against Ryder match that means nothing as far as Fastlane is concerned and dedicate that time to this match? Final miss, Sheamus, Rusev, and Alberto Del Rio against the Lucha Dragons and Neville. The weekly six-man tag match filler included the usual good ring work and a finish that was more awkward than the Mark Henry against Big E finish. How ridiculous did Sin Cara look, just lying on the middle rope and holding himself in place while waiting for Del Rio to double stomp him? This would have been a good spot for King Barrett to at least hold him in place. Meanwhile, it's hard enough to take Kalisto seriously as a U.S. champion when he and Del Rio have played hot potato with the title belt, but watching him work tag matches with Sin Cara again sends a message that he's more of a tag team wrestler. Neville continues to be the most underutilized wrestler on the WWE roster. He's a guy that WWE uses randomly to fill time. League of Nations isn't getting better. It still feels like Sheamus, Rusev, and Del Rio are all better off on their own. That is the end of the Raw hit list. Now let's get into some bonus thoughts on Raw. I would say on a scale of 0 to 10, when it comes to how my excitement level of WWE Fastlane, Raw left me at about a 3. And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, look, this is a good lineup. You have the triple threat match with the winner advancing to WrestleMania. And even if you're like me and the idea of one of those three wrestlers facing Triple H in the WrestleMania main event in 2016 doesn't excite you, the actual triple threat match should be good. We're most likely getting another Jericho and Styles match. I'm kind of bored by the whole Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio feud already, but I think they can have a really good best of three falls match if they get a decent amount of time. They've also run Owens and Ziggler into the ground, but they work well together. That match should be entertaining, and so on down the list. I think Fastlane could be a very good show, but I feel that way when I look at the lineup, not because they sold me on this via Raw. The broadcast team, very repetitive in their approach to promoting the pay-per-view matches. They go through the same motions every month, just like they should do the same flashcard bit every month to show you the price difference between WWE Network and pay-per-view. The announcer's only part of the problem, though. There's just something half-assed about the way WWE is presenting these matches that really fails to sell this as a must-see final pay-per-view before WrestleMania, and it's too bad. Also, ESPN personality Michelle Beadle was back in the front row at Raw. She was posing for pictures with Triple H and Stephanie McMahon before the show, posting them on Twitter. In fact, all three of them did. She claimed they buried the hatchet. All right, as I questioned last night at Pro Wrestling Net, my Twitter page, how do you bury the hatchet over her being so offended by Triple H hanging out with, as she puts it, serial abuser Floyd Mayweather Jr., that she made a public display over turning in her WWE fan card, as she put it? I didn't feel strongly either way about Beadle taking that stand when she did. It was like, okay, if you really feel that way, good for you. I mean, you have every right to say, I'm done with this. I feel strongly about it. But once you take that stand, I think you owe more of an explanation than just, we buried the hatchet. I don't know how you bury the hatchet over that. I really expected to see some type of explanation from her on Twitter today. I didn't know what the hell it would be, because it's not like we've learned since then that he was falsely accused. I just think she comes off as very hypocritical, and I hope she at least tries to offer some sort of an explanation. I think the problem is, I don't think there's a good one. And so she's just going to kind of dance around this and take the nothing to see here approach. And that's her right too, but she's on her Twitter page. Mark Madden called her out on it on Twitter. I didn't go so far as to like include her name in it. I just kind of raised the question. Mark Madden's kind of going at her in Mark Madden style. And I think Mark has good points. And her comeback to this is basically that, oh, some people just want to be that guy. Like, okay, no, you are coming off very hypocritical. And I think you owe people an explanation for this. You took such an aggressive stand. Now that you've made peace, explain why. Again, though, I don't think there's a good explanation other than she just wanted to make peace, and the issue is still there. So there's really no explaining why she went back on this. Anyway, that is going to do it for today, folks. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, anywhere else that allows such reviews. It's always appreciated, and you can help spread the word about this podcast. I will be back tomorrow, most likely with Jake Barnett. We're still sorting out the schedule. I just got an email from Kim when I started this. You will definitely be hearing from Jake and I at different points the rest of the week. Will Pruitt out the remainder of the week, doing some things with his regular job, but Will and Jake will get back together next week for the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast for sure. So you have not heard the end of that. The guys will be back in full force next week. But until next time, thank you, as always, for listening, and I will talk to you again real soon. Take care.